Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on most streaming platforms. Just search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. You can also check us out on our social media pages, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest episodes and up-to-date Chiefs news. Obviously, this episode, we're going to be focusing on the Chiefs-Colts aftermath. And I'm kind of going to waste no time and kind of just rip the Band-Aid off because it's probably not a whole lot of, I guess you could say, good things or positive things that came out of this game, because obviously everybody who watched it, is listening or whatever, I mean, it was an ugly game. It was just all around, like, ugly, ugly game. And it seems like the Chiefs always have maybe, like, one of these earlier in the season, every year, whether it be September or October. But, Rich, like I said, I think you probably didn't get to see most of it, at least live, not till like the second half or whatnot when you came back. What do you think? I mean, other than this, like, ugly, is there anything other things we can say before we, I guess, dive into our full review?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, right? It definitely was an ugly game. I think it got uglier than what it should have got. Yeah, ugly is a way to definitely describe it.
All right, for sure. So, I'll just end up starting and turn it back over to you for, I guess, the stats from the game.
All right, so obviously starting off with the score, Colts 20, Chiefs 17. Chiefs are now 2-1, Colts are 1-1-1. So they have a record in every category. Getting into the overall team stats, from a total yards perspective, the Chiefs were at 315, Colts were at 259. Where am I having? Oh, the passing yards is right there. So 257 for the Chiefs, 177 for the Colts. On the ground, the Chiefs had 58 yards, one touchdown, and Indy had 82 yards and no touchdowns. From a defensive perspective, the Chiefs only gave up one sack, and they sacked Matt Ryan 5 times. And then we had some fumbles, right? So fumbles-wise, there were 2 on both sides, and each team lost a fumble. And then from a defensive perspective, the interception – I can't remember who got that late one for the Colts, but obviously there was an interception by Patrick Mahomes in garbage time, and then Matt Ryan did not throw any. So the only other, let's say, I guess, meaningful one, which will come into place, right, is the penalties. He had 6 penalties for 45 yards on the Chiefs. We know which one there was very, very key for 15 yards there at the end of the game, so we'll talk about that a little bit later.
And the interception, by the way, was Rodney McLeod. McLeod, sorry.
So, getting into the individual performances, Mahomes was 20-35 for 262, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, right? Mentioned he got sacked. His overall rating was 78.5. He had some rushes. He had 4 for 26. And then Matt Ryan was 27-37 for 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, got sacked 5 times. His overall rating was 105.9. Leading the way from a rushing perspective was actually Patrick Mahomes, right? So he had 4 for 26. Jared McKinnon had 7 for 20. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 7-0. It's probably even a negative, if I'm not mistaken. But he did score a touchdown. So, and then Jonathan Taylor was held to 71 yards and 21 carries, no touchdowns. And then from a receiving perspective, yardage-wise, Juju Smith-Schuster led the way with 89 yards on 5 catches. Performance overall, Travis Kelce had 4 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. And then for the Colts, the leader was Michael Pittman with 8 catches for 72 yards. Last but definitely not least, right, I go over the individual defense numbers. So our leading tackler was Nick Bolton. He had 9 combined, 6 solo, 3 assisted, tackle for loss. And 2 sacks, right? So I don't even know if they count tackles for loss and sacks in the same category, but I would say no, since he only has 1 tackle for loss and 2 sacks.
I'll correct you on that, because actually Darius Harris had 13 total tackles, so he was our leading tackler.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. He had six solo.
You know what? You 13. Are so right. Mm. He is I didn't sort it. So yeah, Darius Harris was our leader with 7 and 6, right? 7 solo, 6 assisted. And then Zaire Franklin led the way for the Coltray with 8 and 4. 8 solo, 4 assisted. Sacks wise, right? We mentioned Nick Bolton had 2, Jarius Sneed had 1, Carlos Dunrap had 1, Frank Clark had 1, and then for the Colts, Yannick Ngakoue had 1. And then earlier we mentioned, right, the only interception of the game there late on the last drive was Rodney McLeod when he intercepted that tipped pass by Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, that goes over all of the team and the individual stats.
All right, so heading from, towards the highlights of the game, which, for the most part is probably on the defense side of the ball, but most of the highlights. You had mentioned, obviously, just the sacks just now. Probably the more two memorable plays which came on defense that included those sacks or big plays was the one, I believe it was in, I want to say it was in the first quarter, where we sacked Matt Ryan for negative 10 yards, where a Sneed came in, caused the fumble, but I guess multiple.
Justin Reed missed it, right?
Yeah, a couple of Chiefs players. It's almost like they ran into each other. Like Sneed and Reed, like, ran into each other, and they were just trying to, getting excited to kind of, scoop and score, right? They were trying to do it. Right. Didn't get that done, but we did take the ball, obviously, over at that point. And then, obviously, the other one, it doesn't show when this one was. Oh, looks like the other one was also in the first quarter when we sacked Matt Ryan for minus 4 yards, and that was Carlos Dunlap, and that one we actually recovered.
Yeah. Yep, LeJarius recovered
or Sneed
kind of gets tackled away right away.
Yeah, snackled that one. So those were totally the two of the important plays that we played on the defensive side. Overall, I think we were talking earlier as far as the defense goes, because we'll get to the other aspects of the game. Played well like the whole game. The only thing that they kind of struggled on, obviously, was the very first big moment, I guess you'd say, of the game was when Sky Moore muffed that first punt, and basically the defense had to take the field with their back against the wall, with like only a few yards to really prepare for, and it was kind of hard for even though I know Darius Harris was stepping in for Willie Gay, and obviously he was kind of maybe the main guy responsible on that first touchdown the Colts had. It's obviously, like I said, it's his first game starting, and they're just throwing in the fire there with like 3 yards to spare or whatever it was. And so obviously he made that mistake there. But other than that drive, and I would say the very last drive of the game, where obviously it was, even though that one was a great effort by the defense on the last drive until the epic Chris Jones penalty, which we still don't know, and we'll talk about that maybe here in a little bit, about what happened as far as what he said that was called that ended up being obviously that penalty killer drive where the Colts extended that drive and ultimately scored that game winning touchdown on that drive. But outside of those two drives, defense played excellent the whole game. Like I said, we mentioned those two great plays we had where we kind of caused havoc for Matt Ryan. It kind of caused havoc for Matt Ryan all day for the most part too. So, outside of that, defense played well. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree, right? From a sacks perspective, I know Matt Ryan is no Lamar Jackson or even Patrick Mahomes and escaping the pocket. He's like a sitting duck back there. The fact that we got to him, we made him turn over the ball twice. One of them, that person you mentioned, right, could have been a scoop and score. You said it looks like LeJarius just tried to jump on it while Justin tried to pick it up. They ran into each other. It was fourth down, so they got the ball, right? But it could have been six. Overall, very good game from the defense. Nothing. I mean, of course, I understand the week before the Colts were shut out versus the Jaguars, so they're no high-powered offense. Matt Ryan's, kind of getting his feet wet with this new team. They just got Michael Pittman back as he was out last week. So they're also learning – how to play with their new setup as well. I mean, they held the best running back in the NFL to under 100 yards, which is always a success. One thing this team constantly does, right? Derrick Henry, they've done it a few times. So, yeah, no, I was really impressed with the defensive setup. Bolden, once again, continues to be the best linebacker. That one play where he stuffed Jonathan Taylor in the air on, like, fourth and one was nice. So, and even the younger guys are making some plays, right? I can't remember.
Well, even speaking of what we just mentioned, Darius Harris, he made some plays.
Right. So, of course, yeah, like you said, right, guy off the street, you know, led the way with tackles. But who was it? Was Jalen Watson? I think.
I remember he made some nice plays too. Yeah. Like in the open field.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a third down stop that he made. I think it was the second to last drive in the game. But again, right, just stepping up, Brian Cook came in on that one of those blitzes there on that. I think it was the second to last drive as well. So yeah, I mean, just defense overall played really, really well. They were definitely a bright spot, and let's say a little bit of a sloppy game.
Right, and on top of that, like the whole thing about Jonathan Taylor, he, like I said, he only had 71 yards, like you mentioned. His longest run was only 13 yards, and it almost seemed like every time he had 21 carries. So it almost seemed like every time he got the ball, like the whole defensive line like swarmed on him. So it was. It was really good to see that. Like, I felt like obviously we've always struggled on our running game defense, you know, in the past. So I felt like it really showed up on pretty much by the best runner, or at least top three runner, you know, in the league today, you know, showed up against. So that was really
good. Yeah. I mean, he had an under 4 yard, he had a 3.38 yards per carry average. So that's really, really good against Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. So, so I guess we're going to, we go from the good to like the bad to maybe even the worst. So I'll probably go offense first, right? So then the worst is, we'll save the worst for last. But on the offensive side, it just felt like the offensive line got beat up most of the game. You know, Patrick obviously was a little bit off for sure. I mean, obviously he ended with a quarterback rating under, what, 80, I think. So, you know, he was kind of off of, obviously, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I know you mentioned he got the touchdown. We know he got the touchdown, but it's like, how do you get 7 carries and 0 yards, but you still have a touchdown? It just, it boggles me. But he was struggling, like, finding the hole. I mean, I think you had seen the video, and I think you had shared maybe another one that, you know, even Mahomes was, like, pointing, like, hey, go here. Or, you know, I don't know if he, obviously he had heard him or listened to him, but he's like, hey, go here. There's a hole right here. And he went the opposite way. And, you know, I think he lost, like, 3 yards on that one play. But
which, you know, what's crazy is on that one. So, right. Like that's the beauty of editing nowadays. So when you edit just that part, you know, kind of like what I shared, it looks bad on Alaire's part. When you play the whole clip, he adjusted it because the hole that was initially in, and I mean, you don't just like rarely do you just run up straight. I mean, there's no zero gap, right? There's no run up the center's butt type play. A dive is still, you know, it's in your guard and center gaps for the most part. So,
correct.
When you look at the play again, I think the internet was a little bit tough on Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he does try to run to where his original responsibility is, right? Because I mean, you run in the gaps, but yeah, his ability to then like read and react to it was definitely slower. So I think the initial intent was to run a certain way. Indy was in our backfield all day, so yeah, his ability to redirect there just a little bit too delayed, and I think the way he's running, which he's always holding onto the ball with two hands. Mm-hmm. You know, that impacts your ability to change direction as smoothly as when you just carry with one hand. So
true. Well, at least he's not holding the ball out like LeSean McCoy. But I get to your point. I get what you're saying on that part. But yeah, when you have, and I'm not trying to say that every team is like this, because obviously you have teams like Lamar Jackson, you have Justin Fields, and so on and so forth, Kyler Murray, that if their quarterback is leading your rushing on your team, then that's, I mean, for those kind of quarterbacks, it's, you know, it makes sense. But when Patrick Mahomes, even though he has, you know, I'm not saying he's, you know, he's not as fast as those guys I just mentioned, but he's got, you know, he can get a little bit of kick to it, but he's obviously not like, you know, like I said, like Lamar Jackson. But when he leads the team in rushing at 4 carries and 26 yards, you got a problem with your running game. But like you said, all day, defense was in the backfield. You know, Orlando Brown Jr. Was one that, you know, we had mentioned during the game was getting beat up pretty well. So it's just kind of a rough day for the offensive line. And when your offensive line struggling, it kind of just trickles down from there. Like, you know, your running game, passing game, just kind of overall bad. But anything else you had kind of seen with, you know, how the offense had performed on Sunday?
I mean, the biggest thing, right, was offensive line play, right, for me. But then again, you know, the internet only gives you what you want. Well, I guess what they want to present. And then once you kind of go into a deeper dive, the line, yeah, you could say the line struggled. Were they atrocious? No, there were some really good plays here and there. I think it has more to do with the fact that the wide receivers aren't able to get as much separation as, let's say, Patrick is used to. So he's holding on to the ball a little bit more. We all know that Patrick loves to leave the pocket, right? That's probably been his biggest critique point, is stepping up versus rolling out. I mean, he did that a few times. Now, of course, that's also probably why he only had one sack versus like five or six.
Correct.
But yeah, at the end of the day, to me, the offense is just going through that adaptation period that they do when you have this many new players from a wide receiver perspective. You see Juju kind of getting better. I don't know if this is his game with the most yards since joining the Chiefs. I would say probably no, since –
Well, the thing of it is, it's only been three games, and I know, obviously, the Chargers game, him and MVS had hardly anything. So it'd either be this or the Cardinals game.
He had
the
yeah, most, so 89 yeah. this game, 79 the first game. So this was his most, let's say, the biggest production. I know a lot of it was on that one catch there in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, to me, it's just, like I said, I think it's a combination of, one, it's a new style of offense, right? It's more I wouldn't say dink and dunk, but sort of in that setup. We're finding out who are your playmakers aside from Kelce, aside from Juju. Noah Gray is getting some good reps. Even though we think Justin Watson, you know, had a really nice catch against the Chargers, which he did on J.C. Jackson, I think his snap count is kind of inconsistent. So, again, it's just, you know, you have Kelce. You know you have Juju. We're figuring out who else can play, who else can make plays. So, yeah, at the end of the day, to me, the offense, they weren't as smooth as we're used to. They're going through a new adaptation process. But then we are also not making plays when we should, right? Because Travis Kelce did drop a touchdown, hit him right in the hands. That arguably puts the game away, right? So and that, to me, is the theme of this game, is missed opportunities is what I called it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Also, there was a nice route that Justin Watson ran, which I believe it was – very similar, if not accurate, to the one that he caught in the Chargers game when, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes stepped up and threw it to him. Same way, he stepped up in the pocket on this one too as well, but the safety came over. I forget which safety it was. I want to say maybe Rodney McLeod, but one of the safeties came over on the very similar play they had in the Chargers game and just kind of batted the ball away. That could have been a touchdown, I think, obviously, if the safety had not made it over there in time. So, yeah, like you said, missed opportunity is probably the best way of putting it for on the offense. So now we go to the very, very worst of the game, which was the special teams, and you saw that from the very beginning. You know, Sky Moore, obviously, the very first punt where he kind of muffed the punt and kind of turned around.
He didn't kind of muff it. He muffed it.
I mean, he muffed it, yeah. he turned around like he kind of thought the ball was going to bounce the other way, and then the Colts obviously recover it. The second punt, I don't know. See, I just don't know. I mean, I've been in that stadium before, and we obviously don't want to talk about that game. But, you know, how the sunlight hits inside that stadium, I don't know if how much that affected. I mean, it possibly could have. I just didn't hear more about that. But even the second punt, it didn't feel like he just knew – whether to take a fair catch or whatever, but end up pinning us on the 1 yard line on that one.
Just kind of gets out the way.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, obviously the good thing was they kept them in there on the third punt. I thought they were just like, all right, maybe we'll go Hardman, but that's good for the coaching staff to kind of just keep him in there. He's a rookie. He's going to learn, get better. So that's kind of good. Just, you know, keep him in there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that, the fact that I did see him back in there, when I had, you know, because I didn't catch that part of it live, so I had to watch highlights. It's to your point, like, I like that part of the Chiefs, right? Remember, Kareem Hunt did the same thing. If I'm mistaken, on his first drive ever, he fumbled, and they kept putting him back in there. And I think that game versus the Patriots, when we beat them on opening day, He was like the best player, right? From I think from a yardage and touchdown overall production. So, you know, that's good. That's good that they give him the chance. He's still learning. I mean, he was at a school where they weren't. I mean, what was it? Western Michigan. They're not a powerhouse or anything like that. They're not playing Alabama every weekend. So, the NFL is a much higher step, let's say than most rookies that come out of the Power Five conferences. So he's just learning. He's gonna, you know, I think he'll be all right. He just the game has to slow down for him because right now it is moving way too fast.
I agree totally. And then so then also so obviously we just had like just missed struggles. I mean, obviously, so when I'm talking about other than the punt returns, you know, the kicking game, because we've had obviously Matt Amendola since Butker had gotten hurt week one, and he played really well in the Chargers game. Like, I mean, when he had the you know, every kick that he had, I don't think he missed any extra points in the Charger game, but you know, he played, I think he had two field goals obviously in that second week two and made them no problem at all. And then this week, it's just like, I don't know what it really was. I mean, obviously he missed the off the first touchdown we had, he missed the extra point. Obviously the next one that we had that field goal opportunity wasn't on him. It was just a call to be a fake punt, which, you know, obviously we'll get to that here in a second. And then the third one he had, we just totally missed it. I mean, it was like a 30, it was like a 35 or 36 yarder and just totally missed it. You know, being indoors too. So, and obviously he, I think he was kicking into that sunlight. I can't remember at that point. So I don't want to put everything on like these, you know, the way the
The
stadium
sublime
is and
in the
all
sun. Man. There's just
that.
Arrowhead has no roof. The sun's always in your face.
Right. So I don't want to put it on anything like that. It's just, you know, there really kind of is no excuses at that point because the Colts got to play on that all the time anyways, right? So it just happened. So just really bad from the kicker game. I mean, like I said, it's just when you hit it, you said it the most, I think you said it the best. You said it that, you know, kickers are like you really appreciate them when you have a good one at the end of the day. Yeah, it was just really bad performance from Matt, and you know, obviously he's, you know, now moved on, you know, the waiver wire or whatnot. But and we picked up, shoot, who's the new kicker we have now? Gosh, I
Jason
can't
Wright.
remember his name. Matthew Wright, I think. Which
Oh, I
actually
got the last name right.
they signed him to practice squad. Which
Right.
obviously we'll get more into the stuff that go on for the week four game. But it looks like Butker's gonna be back this week, so he practiced today.
But you know
So.
what's funny is, so me being a soccer guy as well, right? Love both of the footballs. So I know what a sprained ankle is like, right? Obviously, being an athlete, I've done that several times. But Harrison Butker, so this whole football players are so tough compared to soccer players thing has got to stop because this man literally rolled his ankle and has been out for 3 weeks. And he is a big, strong NFL player. And soccer players usually are good after 1 week, you know? So
That's
just
true.
want to call
It's
that
true.
out. So Harrison
I get
Butker
that.
being different.
Right. So it'd be good to see. Hopefully, you know, obviously he limited practice today, so hopefully he ends up playing week four. But yeah,
Because that's
we
one thing
just
about kickers, right? Is kickers, if they're good, they're not free agents. They're not like wide receivers or defensive ends, like Carlos Dunlap, like Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown. If you're a good kicker, you're on a roster somewhere. If you're not, you're either really old and you have no more leg, but you're super accurate, or you're just bad. So sorry to pick on our former kicker, but that's just the way it is for kickers. It's a hard position.
It is. So, but so I guess back to the that one kick that we ended up obviously faking, to try to do a fake field goal, and you know, it seemed like the Colts saw that the whole time. You know, the theme of it is, and it's funny because we make fun of the Broncos week one for saying you make. Or sorry, you signed Russell Wilson to like a $230 million contract, and what do you do the last player of the game? You just use your kicker. I mean, it's almost like the same thing. We can't make fun of the Broncos for doing that when we did the same thing when we have a, you know, what, $500 million quarterback that we can't even say, hey, you can't put him out there to go for it on fourth down rather than kick it with a kicker you don't even trust. It's the same kind of concept, but you know, it happens. They thought they could throw him off, but it kind of saw him the whole time on
Yeah, I
that,
mean, and
but.
I get the illusion perspective, right? You obviously don't want to do the most obvious things sometimes, but like the play design seemed off. Can't remember how many yards you had to get, but it looked like was it Noah Gray? Yeah, Noah Gray was just way, I mean, like, he would have been way short if he did catch it. It seemed like the route, you know, you're making your punter run to the left side,
right,
all this stuff, right? So, yeah, it's one of those where if you're just going to go for it, I get there's the illusion part of it. But it's like, man, just trust Patrick then, you know?
Right, correct. So I guess, you know, leading to a little bit of, I guess, back to some good things, as I'll go ahead and start with the favorite moment of the game. And obviously, you had mentioned it earlier, was that Patrick Mahomes sidearm pass to Juju Smith-Schuster for 53 yards, which it would have been awesome if he would have scored on that, but obviously he got caught up in there in the end. But that was probably, out of everything that we saw during the course of the game that had a little bit of impact there towards the end of the game, was probably that pass. Was actually, I think that was the same drive we went for. We did that fake field goal, didn't it?
Yeah,
I think so. Right. So on that, but that was at least my favorite moment. I don't know if you had anything different, but that's probably what I put it with on my.
I mean, just to be different, right? For me, it was that third down sack by Nick Bolton, where he blitz up the middle and kind of tackles Matt Ryan by shirt, right? Obviously, Ryan's like 6 inches taller than him,
but yeah,
it was kind of cool because he just dives and, like, grabs him by shirt, doesn't horse collar him, but just grabs him enough. And of course, Matt Ryan's not gonna fight it. So yeah, that was my favorite play, just because it was another defensive stop at the right moment.
Right. So on to game balls. You know, I almost went with Snead on this one. He probably deserves it, maybe a little bit, just because some of the things that he made on some of those sacks and turnovers. I went with Darius Harris because it's his first game starting. For the Chiefs, he had 13 tackles. I know, obviously, he struggled there at the beginning, you know, giving up that first touchdown. But him stepping in for Willie Gay, I think he played pretty well. If not, maybe even more than pretty well, probably like above average, more than expected to do. So I think Darius Harris deserved it for me.
You're a nicer guy than me, because my game ball is to Brett Veach for cutting the kicker the next day.
That doesn't even count, because that's like the next day.
Hey, you don't get game balls when we lose. That's my answer.
That's true. I mean, you don't really, but I mean, if you gotta give some positive,
Know
what you mean.
Yeah, for me, it would have been Nick Bolton, right? Because he had another stellar game. To your point, L'Jarius Sneed also balled out. Those are, I guess you can say, aside from Chris Jones, those are arguably our two best defenders at the moment.
Right, and I don't know if I need to really cover this. I mean, obviously, you normally have like a player or something that really disappointed the game. And I mean, obviously, you mentioned it with the kicker. We talked about already enough the kicker. So I mean, if you had to go run one route, it was him. But you could pretty much just say across the board for the team, because everyone had drops or plays they should have made or kicks they should have done. So
people they should have blocked.
or offensive line should have blocked. So, you know, you probably could put this on just pretty much. I couldn't say defense, because defense played pretty well. So it would probably be like majority offense and special teams that kind of messed up the game for the most part for us.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, right, about, let's say just this game is, you'd rather get these ugly games out early in the season versus late in the year. If you have these late in the year, which I guess we did have one of those last year when we played the Bengals in Cincinnati,
right,
you know, where Jamar Chase just tore us up. But, I mean, we still had a chance to win it. So this game, I guess we did also have a chance to win it. We should have. But, yeah, that's the positive I see in it, is get these ugly games out. We always have a stinker. It's kind of often versus the Colts at home. So it is what it is. I don't know, for some reason, every time we lose a game now, everyone thinks, you know, it's
the end of the world.
We're going 17-0, and that's not going to happen. It's like, guys, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, like, for me, I chalk it up to, you know, learning with this new team, because the defense is new as well, right? It's a younger defense, faster. So offensively, the offensive line has kind of been struggling this year. I don't know. I mean, they trained in training camp together as Orlando got there at the beginning, so not really sure what's going on there. I think it has to do more with wide receivers not getting open fast enough, Patrick getting used to that whole dynamic. But again, at the end of the day, we still had opportunities to win the game.
So what do you think about, I know this is a, you know, people talk about superstitious things, but, you know, we obviously couldn't get over the hump with the Colts for a long time. Obviously, we beat them in the playoffs. I can't remember what year it was. Was it the I don't know if it was the 2000. I don't think it was 2019. Was it 2019?
Yeah, the Super Bowl year because it was snowing.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, it was I thought it was? Oh, I want to say that was the year before that. Yeah, that was the year before that. 2018, I believe, because it was Mahomes. Yeah, because
it was Texans, right? Mm-hmm. Texans is the first win of the Super Bowl year.
Right, so it was the 2018 season. Yep, so, right. Like, do you think, because obviously we played the Colts in 2019, and that was, I think I had mentioned that earlier after the game, that obviously that was our first loss of the year that year, only won Super Bowl that year. Do you think the Colts curse is back?
No. No, I don't know. Yeah, that know. Stuff is, like, it's fun for facts or stats, I guess, not facts.
Oh, it is. It's fun to talk about.
But, yeah, no, I don't believe in that one bit. Now,
right, right.
There might be scientific reasons into like why you can't beat the same team 2-3 times in a year.
Yeah.
Or the same team that, you know, like the Bills, right? The Bills beat us in the regular season, but they can't beat us in the playoffs. There might right. be some of that because of, you know, what you study, you know, all this stuff. But yeah, at the end of the day, a stadium shouldn't matter. There's no witchcraft or anything like that that happens.
No. But it's always gossip and fun to talk about because oh, yeah, you know people sure. do think about that. Like, it's always the Colts to beat us, but yeah, it's that kind of thing. So,
hey, but I'll take it if that means we're winning a Super Bowl, I'm all for it.
Right now, if that lines up to be some kind of weird conspiracy about we have to lose to the Colts every time we want to win a Super Bowl, the first loss of the year, then you know that, take it right. So. All right, so on to our final thoughts topic for today. Kind of have two different ones for do, but first one is we'll talk about is the new Pro Bowl changes that the NFL has made for this upcoming year. And obviously, it's like a lot of people are like, "Well, is it really new?" Because it's kind of, I mean, yeah, it's new in terms, but it's kind of like been the same way recently. But I guess you know some of the new changes they made was they're going to do some skills competitions. And then also making the actual Pro Bowl game like a flag football game, which a lot of people obviously, like I said, you know, make fun of that because it's kind of been a flag football game for the most part. Now it's kind of official that they're doing that way. So I guess say quick thoughts on these changes. What do you think about on Pro Bowl?
I'm all for additional skills competition because it's cool to see play. You know, I mean, I've always liked doing them, right? Whenever I played whatever sport, it is skills competition are cool because – you get to see them be competitive in a different aspect and show how good they are technically versus the average Joe, right? Because everyone's like, oh, you know, you watch a game and it's like, oh, well, why can't that wide receiver catch the ball? Well, you know, as you do a skills competition, you see how, like, the certain skill you have to catch this ball as the jug machine is throwing it at, like, 40 miles an hour or, I don't know, 30 miles an hour. So that's the part I like about it. They don't have to risk injury in a very violent game. The flag football game, I don't know how to feel about it because I think it's going to be – I mean, it's just going to be 7-7, right? Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be 7-7, but the important part right. will just be what the wide receivers and the cornerbacks do, which is going to be everything, right? Quarterbacks throwing it up, receivers versus corners. I don't know how serious they'll take it, if it'll be even more serious. I do think, though, that – and I think Deion Sanders was the one who said it. I could be wrong. But so players back in the days, right, like in the 90s, and I get the mentality is different than, you know, in the 2020s versus the 90s. But in the 90s, they used to look at the Pro Bowl as like, I get an opportunity to play with the best. I have to be the best. So they still would right. compete their tail off. Now it's like, man, I'm not trying to get hurt because it's so much about a business. And whether it's increased awareness of the business aspect of it or not, you know, I guess I sound like an old man because I'm, you know, saying they don't make them like they used to. You don't have the mentality. But I get there's a business aspect of it. So I don't know what the flag football setup will be. I think it'll be kind of – it'll be interesting to see it maybe year one, but then probably year two we're going to be like, eh. I really do want to see what they do with the linemen, if anything, from a skills perspective because to me what is super cool is when, you know, like in the – well, not the combine, but the Senior Bowl, they do the just defensive line versus offensive line, right, and it's just 1v1. Like, that would be cool to see because you can just see pure technique 1v1. I think you'll get a lot of football junkies that'll love that kind of stuff, right? Just pure O-line DL 1v1s. And, yeah, the rest of it, it'll just be interesting to see how they create several events, right? Because it's supposed to happen over a few days, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. During the course of the weekend, I think. I don't know if it starts Friday and, you know, in Sunday morning or whatever for the game, but, yeah, it's supposed to be over a few days for sure. Now – On that part, like kind of you mentioned, I'm actually looking forward to that. That might be something I'm going to tune into. But let me ask you, like, if you didn't turn into the Pro Bowl the last 4 or 5 years, what makes you turn into it now? Like the actual game. Mm-hmm. Like what? Like that's my thing is like
the game itself. You know,
yeah. Like who's gonna? My thing is like now that they changed the flag football. I mean, what makes those people that didn't watch it before would want to watch it now?
Yeah, the only people that watch Pro Bowl are those that like absolutely adore it, right? Just right. adore football. And mm-hmm. even then, you have it on in the background. I don't know how much you sit through. Maybe kids watch it more because they just love watching football.
Right.
But most adults that have something to do will do whatever they're doing and have it on in the background. But mm-hmm. yeah, from a flag football perspective, I'm pretty sure most people aren't going to run home to be like, oh, I have to watch this flag football game.
Right. Especially if there's like something else on. I mean, who knows? Like, I'm just saying, for instance, like.
And this is what, February? No.
Yeah. January. So I'm like, if it's like if the Grammys are on or the Oscars are on, people are going to want to turn into that more than, you know, Pro Bowl, which I think has happened before. I can't remember, but maybe it does happen. But, no, I just – the thing of it is, like, I just don't see, you know, that changing. Like, I mean, I think ultimately I would rather just see the skills competition throughout the weekend and then don't have the game. I mean, that's just – that's the way I think it eventually will go. I just don't see how the ratings for the game is going to – drastically get better, or people would be, because I think people would love to see Mahomes versus Josh Allen, you know, in a throw off or something, right? I mean, people would love to see something like that, but
yeah, that'd be cool to watch, you know, a few times. And to your point, as long as it's advertised that way. Now, something I thought about, right, was it'd be kind of cool, and but obviously it's not football related, but like, what if you made them do non football stuff, right? So if you made them shoot like 3-pointers, have a 3-point shooting contest.
Interesting.
Now, that would just, like I said, I don't know how the NFL would market that because, I mean, I think people will watch it because they'll be like, oh, who's the best 3-point shooter, Patrick or Josh Allen or, I don't know, somebody else.
I like that idea, but even like what basketball does, they get celebrities, right? They have like the celebrity game. So you have like, I mean, I think they do have that with they have like a celebrity flag football game, I think.
And maybe that's what they need to do, right, is maybe make it to where – they mix like celebrity flag football with NFL, so celebrities with NFL players.
Yes.
Maybe that'll be cool. I don't know, because I even thought about what if you did a junction like flag football game with like, I don't know, baseball. Baseball isn't going on at that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, you made it like a combined thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be interesting to see whatever they come up with. And at the end of the day, you know, whatever it is, it's not going to be as good as like an NBA All-Star game.
No,
the MLB All-Star game.
And you can't always, and you can never compare those two because, or any of those other sports because they're not as physical. I mean, probably the most physical sport to football is probably hockey, but it's still not, it's still on a different level. Like, there's no difference. Like, I mean, the drastic drop between NFL and, you know, even hockey next is not even the same. So it's just the way it is. Like you said, like, you know, it's not the 90s anymore where it's just like, people just want to play their best and hit each other. It's all about my contract and will I get hurt? It's business. It's just a new, different, you know, way of thinking now. So they can't really do that anymore. All right. So on to our last topic. Actually, the big news is, on the Tampa Chiefs game that is supposed to happen in Tampa Bay on Sunday Night Football. For week 4 is the Hurricane Ian, which has put a lot of different perspective as far as, you know, will the game still be played in Tampa Bay? Obviously, the first rumors were that, you know, it could have been played in New Orleans, Nashville, or also Minneapolis. And the news came out today saying that the latest news that came out today was the NFL was still going to consider still having the game in Tampa. Just they want to see what happens. But if the game is moved, that will be going to Minneapolis. And obviously, Rich, we've been talking about this all day. They were like already starting to kind of make plans that, hey, if the game is in Minneapolis, how is tickets going to work? You know, I I've done my homework because I've been kind of reading up on it. And I know a lot of Chiefs fans will want to make the drive, you know, up there because it's, you know, it's like 6.5 hours away. But, you know, there's the, I think I've seen in the past whenever I can't remember. I know it was the Detroit Lions, but it was someone's stadium. It might have been Detroit that obviously there was something wrong with the dome or something, and they had to move the game. and they gave away like free tickets. I think if I remember correctly, I can't remember what stadium was they played at, but that was the last instance that happened. But obviously, you know, that was the Lions then. Obviously, the Lions are different now, but they're not like the same. We're talking about Brady versus Mahomes. I don't see them actually doing free tickets. Maybe they will for like season ticket members for the Vikings. But I mean, I guess what are your thoughts on like this whole subject matter and where it might end up at?
No, I mean, obviously there are bigger things than football at some times, and it impacts the ability for scheduled events to go through. You know, you still got to play them, right? Because delaying an NFL game nowadays has such a huge impact, especially from a competitive advantage. Because I mean, if you delay the game, the Chiefs, you know, and the Bucks, I think they both have a game, you know, the next weekend. I know the Chiefs do. I don't know about the Bucks.
So here's the thing: the Chiefs don't have a game until Monday night because that's when we play the Raiders at home. So they have, we have an extra day.
So they have an extra day. You lose that extra day if you push it back. There's that competitive advantage. Like from a physical fitness perspective, every day is accounted for in recovery and all that stuff. So yeah, of course you adjust, right? No doubt. But the cool thing is there are other stadiums they can play in. I don't really get why they would. I mean, if they had Nashville, New Orleans, you know, some spots closer to Tampa, why Minnesota? I mean, I guess because it's a dome, but I mean, there's no inclement weather or anything like that.
I guess the reason why they didn't do New Orleans, as I was reading, is because even though New Orleans is playing in London, I think first the Vikings, right? That if something were to happen and then they couldn't go to London, that they would have to play in New Orleans. Something similar to what the Chiefs had with the Mexico City game, and then they play in the Rams. So there's no way that they could say, that could be a destination, because just in case for their game that they would want to keep their place open. Obviously Miami, I think there was something. Oh, that's right. Miami or Jacksonville was out of the question because just in case, you know, Florida needed to use resources for the state and they couldn't play there. I think the Falcons were playing at home, so they couldn't do Atlanta, which I thought of Atlanta. Nashville was, I think, outside of I thought I read something with Chicago too as well, but I think that was not an option at all. But I thought either Nashville or Minneapolis was probably the safest place. But like you said, it's like Minneapolis is like almost an advantage to Chiefs
fans.
And it's
closer to the Chiefs, 100%. Yeah,
because there's a lot of – and there's a lot of – I mean, obviously, there are probably Vikings, Packers fans, but there's still a lot of Chiefs fans up there. Obviously, River Falls, you know, when we used to have the training camp up there. But there's still obviously a lot of Chiefs fans in the Midwest and there in Minnesota. So, yeah, it would definitely be an advantage for the Chiefs. So – you know, why not be Nashville? Nashville is like halfway, you know, so between both almost. So, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the NFL wants a matchup to happen regardless, right? They need, you know, cause it might be Brady's last year. So Brady versus Mahomes, you know, potentially the only other time they would meet is in the Super Bowl. So, you know, it'll happen some way or another. Right. But yeah, I guess we'll see. And they're waiting as long as possible to make a determination.
Right, and we'll definitely, you know, on our preview for that game later, couple of days for later this week, we'll discuss about obviously what ended up happening with it, if it stays put. But you know, for now, we'll kind of see how the hurricane rides out. Hopefully, everyone, if anyone listening there in Florida or in their location, hopefully you guys are safe or you moved into you know, other areas of either Florida or, you know, maybe Georgia or wherever. North Carolina, South Carolina, anywhere else, but, you know, hopefully there, unless you're riding it out. So hopefully everyone's definitely staying safe there in Florida for sure. All right. Well, with that being said, that actually will conclude today's episode of the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. Like I said before here, that our next episode will be discussing the Week 4 preview between the Chiefs and Tampa Bay Bucks for Sunday Night Football. Like I said, wherever it's played, we'll find out. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.